And again, we want to say thanks to all the parents here who poured into these lives as well of all these people all these years. Your work is ongoing and it's been a blessing as well. I've been on this series here. It's called Ready, Set, Grow. And I want to talk here on this graduation Sunday briefly about how vision actually also brings growth to our lives. The Bible tells us, we all know the verse that says, without a vision, the people will perish. And perish actually means slowly ebb away, gradually go away, and gradually not be doing what God has called them to do. We're very proud of our graduates and those who also continue on to college in our congregation. But also we're blessed to have be a church here today that has a vision not just for this congregation only, but also for Pflugerville, for Round Rock, for Austin, our surrounding metroplex, but also for our nation and also even the nations of the earth. God has placed, I believe, Tree of Life Church here for such a time as this to be not only a gatekeeper for our own community here in prayer and intercession, but also to be a sending church, to be sending people out to the nations, to our nation itself, and also to our own community in the ways that God's brought giftings in the lives of people that call this their church home. It does take a family to have a church, to have a congregation. It's going to be thriving. It's going to be expanding and growing. And the main thing we're doing here is to expand God's kingdom. As God breathes on us, God would work through us to do things in us and through us by the giftings He's placed in us to be a blessing to people we come in contact with who need the Jesus Christ that lives in us. The Bible calls the hope of glory. Amen. I want to remind you again our threefold vision for Tree of Life Church. First of all, that God put on my heart several years ago, He wants all of us to be continually alive in Jesus Christ. When you come into this place here, we believe God for an atmosphere that's going to cause you to thrive and be alive, be revived, and have, actually have a hearing ear to be hearing God's voice and be one who actually has a passion for the things of God on an ongoing basis. I believe God will be bringing folks to us that might be burned out, might be backslidden, might be totally lost, not even knowing Christ as Savior. And I know that, again, if people get around salt and light that's inside of us, it's going to rub off on people like that. And the life that you have in you by the power of the Holy Spirit is going to rub off onto them. They're going to be coming alive in Jesus by His Spirit. Amen? Do you believe that? And we're seeing God doing that. And may God do that more and more in this church as the months and the years go by. The second part of our vision also is to have be rooted and grounded in Christ, because a tree puts down roots, and the deeper those roots go, the more storms that tree can endure, but also the more limbs grow out, the more branches grow out, and then the more fruit takes place in due time from that tree. The Bible says be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ Himself. As long as we're alive in God, He's going to cause our roots to go down deeper and deeper and deeper. No matter what the storms of life hold for us in the future, those roots are going to give us a firm foundation in the Word of God, in God's love, God's character, God's nature, and even God's people. We need local churches like this to also be a place that's called an anchor of hope in times of need around us. Praise God for all of you guys who go to hospitals many times, go to nursing homes. You go sometimes to missions trips. You help people out in their time of need. Also about our own congregation, we've seen people going through times of need here, and we've seen how you folks have reached out to them and been an anchor of hope for them with God's love and God's abundance in your life being poured into their lives. And we appreciate you guys for that. The third part of our vision is being fruitful and bearing fruit after our own kind. Every apple tree bears apples. Every orange tree bears oranges. Whatever kind of tree you are, may you bear that kind of fruit more and more and more in abundance. Amen. In Jesus' name. One thing we have to be aware of, though, is potential in our lives to go through a thing that's called vision drift. As our lives go by, our lives get very, very busy as things change. Sometimes tragedies take place. It happens. Sometimes our job will change. Sometimes our house location would change there. We can go through a thing that's called vision drift. I must myself remind myself with God's help and God's Spirit what God has called me to be, called me to do, and not be drifting from that. Now, God's placed some very specific things on my heart to be accomplishing in the years ahead as well. And I'm making time myself to be doing some things here to bring fulfillment for those things that God's called me to be doing here, not just pastoring a church, but also reaching nations, also writing books. And so I'm getting time blocked out right now more and more and more to get these books written and get some things out there to the people of our nation as well, I believe, as time goes by. But God's called every one of you to be those who touch not just this congregation, but touch your families, touch your neighbors around you, and also somehow, some way, touch the nations in due time by the giftings God's placed inside of your life. Let's look now at the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 5. We're going to look at today, this morning here, at the cycle of how vision takes place, the cycle of vision. how it begins, how it ends up, and how we grow by having God's vision take place in our lives. We're going to look here at the apostle named Peter, who's reiterating a former vision he had on the rooftop in a place called Joppa. And it says here, I was in the city of Joppa, I was praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by the four corners, and it came to me. Now this word trance in the Greek language is only found one time in the whole entire New Testament. This word trance is not like a Hindu, Buddhist type trance state where your mind empties out and you're just kind of in la-la land. This word trance is kind of like the word daydreaming, but only a little bit stronger than that. Here was Paul praising God, worshiping God, praying to God. He was caught up in the realm of the Spirit in a real daydreaming type state by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit gives him a vision that begins to show him what he's going to be doing in his life for the rest of his life to help reach Gentiles for Jesus Christ and see Gentiles being reached for him. So if you're writing some things down this morning, I'm going to give you again the cycles of vision. The first cycle of vision, and number one, is you must first of all see a vision. There must have a vision come to you. I want you to realize again that God will give every believer some kind of a vision in their life, because God himself writes down in the Bible, without a vision, my people will perish. God's not called you to perish. He sent his only begotten Son that you would not perish, what the Bible says to us. Amen? And so because God's coming to us by the power of his Spirit through his Son, Jesus Christ, he says, I would not that any man would perish, but all would come into salvation to Jesus Christ, my Son. So I believe every one of you have a vision already birthed in your heart, given to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. The danger is that vision going adrift? Is that vision coming to pass? And are you sowing into that vision yourself that God might have placed in your heart, maybe even decades ago? Is it actually coming to pass? Or do you need a fresh vision that God might release to you in this hour and in this season? The second step, second cycle of vision, once you receive God's vision and visualize a concept, an idea. It might be a marriage that's better. It might be your children going to college, graduating from that, having a wife or a husband that's godly and righteous. These are all visions God would birth in you about your family, about your marriage, about your job, about your future, about your church, and about what God's placed for you to do also as far as ministry is concerned in your life. The second cycle now, number two, is the word envision. Once you receive a vision, you must then begin to envision where you stand. What part do you play to make that vision come to pass? How many folks realize again that when God gives you a vision, he always wants you to be involved yourself as much as you can be in that vision yourself? Amen? The Bible tells us in Proverbs, do all that you can in your own power, in your own might, and then God shows up and God does what you cannot do, but you must do your part first. The Bible also says faith without works is dead. And so God gives you a vision. God won't make that vision come to pass by himself. God will always activate your faith, your actions, your obedience to bring that vision to pass in your life as well. So the word envision is number two. Second cycle of vision must be this. There's actually four ways that vision begins to see, begins to manifest in you by you getting involved yourself in these four things. The first thing here is, number one, is relationships. You must begin forming divine relationships. As God gives you a vision, let's say to reach a nation, let's say to be feeding the poor in the city of Pflugerville, then what God will say there is, you must have other people working with you to see this vision actually come to pass. How many folks realize God's into teamwork? He's not into lone rangerism anymore, amen? And so there's always got to be divine relationships taking place and happening in your life. But also, if you have a vision for your own child to be a godly child, a righteous child, a child that always serves God, has a godly and righteous family, I want to encourage you parents and grandparents, always invest in a healthy relationship between you and your children every day, month, and year of your life. Amen? If you don't have that, you cannot speak into their lives. I found myself, my relationship with my children is not good or not right. I can't speak into their lives in the right way that God would have me speak in their lives. So I'm saying, some of you guys today, that there's been a drifting of relationship between you and your own children. Do what you can with God's help and God's grace to love them back into relationship with you once again. Make that your first priority, not their work, not their attitude, not their character, not their actions. Work on relationship and trust once again being restored. And then through that, God will begin giving you a voice for them to start making some divine adjustments or changes, perhaps, to see that vision happen for their lives that God's got for them also in their lives. The second thing about this is, number two, it takes place by prayer. God wants you to always be praying the vision. As you receive this ministry next weekend with Anthony Holsabus, the prophet, there will no doubt be some visions released by that prophet to people in this congregation, perhaps even for Tree of Life Church in some type of way. I want to say to you again, those prophecies will not come to pass by themselves. And I want to say it again. Visions, prophecies don't happen only by themselves. It takes you also praying what God wants to do in your life. Amen? That's why the Bible says that Daniel the prophet in the Old Testament, he saw a vision from God about the future for his own people of Israel. He began to fast and pray right away. And then the Bible says the demon came there, began to resist Michael the archangel, and said the answer finally came after 21 days of prayer. But if Daniel had not prayed, it would never have come to pass. Never negate, never belittle the power of prayer in your life. Because prayer is talking to God and getting God involved in your battles and agreeing with what God says about your battle and seeing your vision does come to pass. The good news is, if God gives you a vision, it means that you're part of the great big picture on this earth of God's kingdom. And God wants your vision to come to pass even more than you do, because your vision impacts the lives of sometimes even millions of people on the earth. Amen? Your vision is important, not just for you, but those you influence. Third thing about this, number three element is by giftings. By giftings. God will give you visions that line up with the giftings God's placed in your life. If God's given you a healing ministry, God will give you visions of seeing people healed around you upon this earth. I remember back whenever we were first doing our rock seminars, God began to breathe on me prophetic type anointings in kind of a smaller type manner. And I began to get surprised as I was going doing rock seminars as an evangelist. In my first few months of doing that, I go to some small churches sometimes. And one time, I was preaching about the dangers of secular rock and roll, the culture they're involved, and so forth and so on, back in the 1970s. And I saw a lady sitting right in front of me, and I began to see things in the Spirit. God began to speak to me and say, that woman you see right there, she's got a husband who's not a Christian. She's been praying for him. And I'm going to draw this man to myself, and he will become saved in due time. Encourage her with that. I'm doing a seminar on rock music, and the Holy Spirit has given me a woman to see in the congregation there about a word of knowledge and a prophecy there. And I shared with her after the service was over there. She broke down, began to cry, and began to weep, and said, that's exactly what I need to hear, because I've been praying for my unsaved husband now for months and months and years and years. I said, the Holy Spirit tells me it's only going to be a short amount of time till you see your husband come to God in a few days. I want to tell you guys right now that prophecy is not just for someone to always stop and grab the microphone and say, thus saith the Lord. Prophecy can take place in restaurants, in grocery stores, in car trips, and in houses. It's a very, very practical, encouraging thing where God may say something simple to you that impacts somebody's life in a very significant, powerful way in their life. Amen? So God says your giftings are going to always line up with and complement the vision God places inside of you. So whatever giftings you got inside your heart and life, be willing to use those giftings to see the vision also come to pass in the life that God's given you on this earth, in Jesus' name. The fourth element of this, number four, is by faith. Also by faith, your vision will come to pass. The book of Joel says, your young men will dream dreams, and your old men will, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. You've all heard that before in the past. Now, I'm not sure about all the meanings of that in all of this Greek and Hebrew and whatever else context. One thing I do think about here, though, is visions can include action, where dreams sometimes only include thinking about doing something, but not getting the energy like an old man, perhaps, to do that. Amen? There's an old song back in the 50s by the Everly Brothers that went something like this. Dream, 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 dream. Dream, dream, dream. And it kind of goes on and on like that in a better voice than mine. And they sing on, they sing on, they sing on. And they said, in one line says here, the only problem is, gee whiz. That's a 50s verse there. The only problem is, gee whiz, I'm dreaming my life away. Remember that line? That's the problem with dreams. Dreams that happen so long and so much, we find ourselves dreaming our lives away like an older person, but not having the vision and the gumption to do some actions there to cause the dream to come to pass. What God is saying to us in the year 2013 is, may your dreams become visions. May your visions become actions. May faith come inside of your heart to do something yourself with God's help and God's grace to see that vision start coming to pass. Amen? You know, God gave us a vision over a year ago about digging wells in Mozambique, Africa, as a start and a catalyst for other nations of the earth. Over a year has gone by now. I can't give you in the time I have here all the details of all the delays, all the challenges, the four men coming together, the emails, the plane trips, the canceled flights, all the things that took place there. There's brought roadblocks there. But the main thing is the vision is as strong today as it was over a year ago. Well, finally this week, we're getting emails. The well-digging man is going to Mozambique. He'll be there June of next month. He'll meet with a missionary named Mel Stauber. The guy with the finances is still on board, full blast. And so we're seeing things begin to chug back in little by little by little. The Bible says again, in God's timing, in God's season, things happen upon the earth. But I've also found it's the first thing that's always the hardest. It's the first book you write, the first poem you write, the first song you write, the first well you dig is always the hardest one to do. Once that happens, though, breakthrough is right around the corner, and it gets easier and easier because God's yoke is easy and God's burden is light. Amen? So, the third cycle of vision, number three, is the word division. The word division. You want to write that down. Division must be resisted at all costs. When Satan sees that God gives you a vision, doesn't threaten him so much. But when Satan sees your faith becomes active and you start doing things about that vision, then Satan becomes threatened, and he causes, if he can, all hell to break loose upon your vision. And he tries to bring a thing that's called division. Division simply means two visions. It means split vision, and it means the vision will never happen, never take place, because it's a split vision, a divided vision, and the Bible says a double-minded man does not receive anything good from the Lord. We must resist division. Amen? Paul Crouch, you've all seen him on television with his wife named Jan Crouch. He founded a thing that's called Trinity Broadcast Network. This man receives hundreds of requests every month to build orphanages, to build churches, to build Bible schools, to buy Christian literature for around the world. And he says all those things are good works and good projects. They're all for God, I'm sure, his glory. But he said, my vision that God gave me is to plant TV stations that are Christian stations all over the earth. I only receive letters and requests for TV stations being built somewhere in the earth. The other things are good. Somebody can do those things, but I've got a singleness of eye here. I must only plant TV stations that are Christian stations with the money God gives me on the earth. May God give us also ourselves a focus and a vision that Satan cannot take and annihilate that and drift that out there and give us division somehow, the vision God places in our lives. We need to resist division at all costs. You know, the Bible also says when Naomi had Ruth and Orpah as her daughters-in-law and all the men die, the seed bearers are gone, the Bible said they begin to walk to the borders of the place they lived at. And we all know that it says that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law Naomi goodbye and goes back to her old ways, her old gods, her old lifestyle. She totally backslides is what takes place here. Ruth goes with Naomi, the Holy Spirit, to a place called Bethlehem and becomes the great-grandmother of a mighty king whose name was King David. Do you know what Orpah's great-grandson's name was? Goliath. The great-grandson of Orpah became Goliath, the warrior and fighter and enemy of Israel and of David. You see, division will normally birth something satanic and something maybe righteous, whatever God's hand is on, from that. I'm saying divisions, satanic divisions, dangerous, and it must be resisted at all costs in your life. Do you realize, again, that most war casualties in America, the biggest war casualty took place not in World War II, over 2 million deaths in World War II. It took place in a thing called the Civil War. Now, why is that? Because Americans fought Americans, and they had to count the dead on the North and the South both. Over 2 million Americans died in the Civil War. Civil wars always bring more destruction, bring more problems than wars overseas ever will in the history of our own nation as well. The sad fact also is denominations have divided. Churches have also split and divided. You've all seen things like that take place perhaps in your own Christian life. It's not what God's desire is. It's not God's best for the earth. Let's look now at the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15 talks about this. Galatians 5:15 says, amplified version, Cheryl's version again. It says, but if you bite and devour each other, talking to born-again, spirit-filled Christians here, in partisan strife, be careful that you and your whole fellowship are not consumed by each other, one another. He's saying here that Christians sometimes can use their own power, their own might, their own mouths, their own anointed hearts to bite and devour each other in strife and bring division that causes church splits, denominational splits, and brings destructive things on the earth. You know, I live myself in Wichita, Kansas from age 11 to age 20, I was a born-again believer in Jesus Christ in that city at a very, very good, strong, full gospel, solid pastoral church. A man named Pastor Earl Pruitt was our pastor there, a great man of God. But this church was a church that was run by the board. And the board would vote on things. Every year they'd vote whether the pastor should stay or go. If you guys want to vote about Cheryl and I staying or going, I'm saying use your feet. Amen. We're going to try to stay here as long as God wants us to be here. But board-run churches can be dangerous things that the board or businessmen who operate by their own mind, their own imaginations, their own flesh, and not really hearing God's voice all the time. What took place here was a divisive thing happened in that church about 5 or 6, 7 years into my time in that church. And they said, we're now so big, we've grown to 300 people in our congregation, we cannot fit the folks anymore, what do we do? We have two options. We can knock the walls down on the back of the sanctuary and build a bigger sanctuary, or we can buy the land across from us and build a life center there and try to funnel some of the folks off in that place. I couldn't understand why that's going to work out for us so much, but that's what the two choices were. Do we buy the land across the road, or do we build onto this sanctuary right here? Well, the problem was we had business meetings on Sunday nights for weeks and weeks, and as time went by, the folks who wanted the new land began to sit on this side of the church. The folks who wanted a bigger sanctuary began to sit on this side of the church. And division took place left and right in that church. And the sad thing was, they came to no good conclusion at all. They finally bought the land across the road, and they had a vote of confidence for the pastor a few months later. And for the first time, about 5 people voted, it's time for you to go. It hurt the pastor's feelings. He resigned, left the church. New pastor came in who had a totally Saul spirit. Church shrank down to 25 people. 325 people as Saul took the church over. I'm saying division never brings good fruit to a church, a congregation, a denomination, or a people in the long run. Amen? And it must be resisted at all costs. And the thing that should take place here whenever denominations themselves say, let's don't preach Trinity anymore, let's all become oneness people, because the Pentecostals did that years and years ago. They said, let's not believe in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Let's believe in Jesus only now. Those things became so divisive, things like that whole denominations began to split asunder into total different groups around this planet. Around this nation. And the sad thing is, one time, several decades ago, one big Pentecostal group had a big convention in the East Coast, and it was called the Great Walkout. And some men began to actually smile in pride and say, I was part of the Great Walkout. I didn't like their doctrines. We didn't like their beliefs. We stood up in their council, and we walked out by the hundreds and formed our own denomination. No good thing came from that. What those men should have done is linked arms, got on their face before God, and said, Father God, we don't agree on a certain doctrine right now. Please, Holy Spirit, show us by your power, by your might, by your wisdom, what do you say about this doctrine being introduced to us in our denomination? They didn't do that. They used their own might, their own anger, their own pride, their own ego, and brought division from that. And I say to you guys again, when vision takes place, when Satan starts being threatened by your vision, by your actions, he will try to bring division every way that he can. Amen? So what's the next one? Number four, cycle. If we can get through the division and pray that Jesus Christ's prayer, John 17, Christ prays there, Father, make them one as we are one, so the world may know that you have sent me and received Jesus Christ as Savior. Only when the world out there sees we are one will they know that he is the one who died for their sins. Amen. Number four, if you get through division, make it through that intact, a thing that's then called revision. Revision. Revision means we ask ourselves, how much am I willing to change my schedule, my finances, my speech, my friendships perhaps, my actions, my studies, my reading, my time? What will I readjust that I might see this vision come to pass that God's placed inside of my life? Revision. I've been preaching here the first part of this year about how God wants us to go through a time where we actually be willing to lay some things down, to pick some new things up, that God's vision may come to pass in our lives on this earth. You've got to be willing to change your schedule, change your spending habits perhaps. Maybe change again some relationships that are not really birthed by God or that God's finished with, that God says, think about other relationships to be involved with to see the vision come to pass. The city of Antioch in the New Testament church is mentioned time and time again in Acts and throughout the New Testament as well. And the Bible says the word Christian first appeared in the city named Antioch. Church historians tell us that Antioch was a divided city with 18 different sects or groups in that city. And they all had their own walls and gates dividing them from all the people in Antioch besides themselves. They would lift their gates up every day, every morning, and they would do business with each other to sell their wares and their cloth and their livestock and their blacksmith and so forth. Then when the sun began to set, the walls came right back down again to protect themselves from each other, whom they hated so much. They had 18 different groups in a city called Antioch. The Spirit of God came in that city by the apostles' word being preached there. And so many Antiochians, I'm going to call them that, got saved, they began to all of a sudden love one another. The walls came tumbling down, the gates were smashed, and there was no more barriers among the 18 groups in Antioch anymore. And they first became known as Christians, Christians, little Christs, in a place called Antioch that was so divided before that. The Holy Spirit will bring you not division, he'll bring you unity, peace and love and growth and fruitfulness as only he can do. Amen. The last thing, number five, is the word provision. If you can find yourself going through the vision, then envisioning yourself in that vision, start acting on that vision, and then fight through a thing called division that Satan brings against you, and then going through a thing that's called revision, where I take and change my schedule, change my spending habits, change my relationship somewhat perhaps, change my studying. If all those things take place, divine provision will then come into your life. How many folks believe here that where God guides, God provides? It's true. And sometimes God provides a whole lot at first, and then God eases back because that fight of the enemy takes place for a season. Then provision will come back once again. If we stay the course, stay with the vision God gave us, make some revisions perhaps, and then say, I believe you, God, that provision is right around the corner in my life, in Jesus' name. The question today is, do you want to be delayed and frustrated by a vision that's not being reached, or do you want to see breakthrough take place and be a vessel that God provides for and gives provision to you that vision will surely come to pass? The Bible says again about vision, it says, though the vision tarry, it will surely come to pass. Amen. I appreciate the Hernandez family back here and also the Merzes with them again. They keep on going and going and going to places like Piedras Negras. They saw small beginnings take place here in the past, but now a church is being built. Folks are getting saved. Things are growing there. You've got to go through the realm of going beyond your emotions, beyond your sight, beyond your feelings, and keep on persevering in the vision God gave you to do. In due time, provision will take place there. And the windows of heaven will be opened up to that, and God will begin to multiply what Satan tried to divide by his own satanic works. God is not obligated, though, to give us provision for our rabbit trails and our paths of disobedience in our lives. Understand that. Your rabbit trails, your desires, and what you want, God has no obligation to finance that with 1 cent out of his kingdom. Amen? You know, the Bible shows us in the book of Jonah that Jonah went to Nineveh, preached the gospel there by force, by a whale, getting him spitting out of a whale's belly. Got his attention real strong there. And Jonah preaches the gospel there. They begin to repent. They get right with God. God holds back the judgment. Jonah's mad and angry. He goes to the top of a hill there to see him get destroyed. And God does not destroy them. And Jonah says, just take my life and just kill me. I want to see them get killed. What does God do? God will give you mercy for a season. In mercy, God puts a shade tree over Jonah's head that grows up and provides shade for him. And Jonah says, wow, God is showing me even he's for my actions, my attitudes. No, God in his mercy, in your bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, even then God will show up for a season and put shade trees over your head that you might have time to repent and come to your senses and get that hot head cooled down in Jesus' name. Amen. Even God will do that. Then notice how the Bible goes on and says, then God provided a scorching wind to kill the shade tree and burn Jonah's head and bring discomfort into his life to try and say to Jonah, please get up, go to Nineveh, live in those houses, in those hotels with air conditioning down there, and keep on preaching the gospel and make some disciples down there. But Jonah would not do it. I'm saying to you guys again that God will not finance your rabbit trails, your self-will, your disobedience. He only finances things birthed by his kingdom and his word. Amen. So James is back to the platform now. I want to say in closing, God is giving us grace, but grace is not for us to sit on our blessed assurance and say, now you, God, do all the work. Grace is not doing nothing. Grace is doing things in our might and our power with God helping us out alongside us and seeing things get accomplished that only God can do, but also God will use our help and use our bodies, use our time and our talents to get those things also done in the vision God places in our lives. I'm going to ask this morning, how many folks here today would say, you have a vision for your life? You got a vision. You can raise your hand and say that. I've got a vision for my life. I'm praying to God, all you folks whose hands aren't going up right now, that God would give you a godly vision for your life, for your children's lives, for your grandchildren's lives. And I want to say again, I want to back up and say, it always begins with prayer and relationships. I want to pray at the end of the service here that God gives us an ability to, first of all, see a restoration take place of relationships that might have gone through stressful times, that might have gone through blurry times, that might have gone through drifting times, that God may heal those relationships as only God can do. And then beyond that, may God also then pour into us his agape divine love, give us his own divine faith, use our own giftings in the way that God wants to use those things, but also God wants to bring to us his life, his strength, and his word that says that vision will truly come to pass. Though it tarries, it will take place in Jesus' name. Let's bow our head and close our eyes now for a moment. Father God, I thank you and praise you.